thank you so much for joining us today. I'm Christy Credit, and we are joined by Volunteers of America CEO Lynn Sullivan. You are in the middle of your 125th anniversary year. Well, not you particularly, Lynn, but right, the Volunteers of America are. How did you guys get here? Wow, that's a long time.
It is a long time, and thanks for having me here today, Christy. We really appreciate the opportunity to tell our story. Volunteers of America started 125 years ago by Maud and Ballington Booth, and they wanted to make a difference in the communities in which they were serving. And over the course of the past 125 years, we've endured the Depression, we've endured the pandemics, the most recent pandemic as well. We've served over 1 million people, helping them to rise from poverty and provide a bunch of services to basically do that. So it's been a long time. It's hard to believe it's 125 years. I've only been here two of those, but it's a wonderful organization. It's a nationwide organization of which we serve upstate New York.
Okay, and what brought you here? Are you from this area?
So I was born in Jersey, raised in Rochester, was actually most recently running Holy Sepulchre Cemetery, and so coming over to Volunteers of America just down the street. And it's an organization that's always had a place in my heart. I knew the Children's Center many years ago. Children's Center annually serves over 300 children in pre-K, Head Start, and after-school programs. And it was giving children a good start in life. And so that's what attracted me to it originally. But as I learned more and more about the organization and what it does to really help individuals rise from poverty by providing a lot of the basics, housing, food, start to a new job, I really knew that this was a place that I wanted to be in, making a difference in our community.
Yeah, I don't think everyone knows quite exactly, what Volunteers of America does. You see that and you think, oh, it's a group of volunteers, right?
Right. And we've been asked that many, many times, as you can probably imagine. But what Volunteers of America does is it helps individuals rise from poverty by providing some of the basic programs. So we operate homeless shelters. We operate supportive housing for men. The shelters are, by the way, for men as well as families. And then we also operate a residential reentry program, which is helping individuals transition from prison back into the community successfully, making sure they have housing, making sure they're on a good start, making sure they have jobs. And then we operate children's pre-K and Head Start programs as well as after-school programs. So in total, there's about 32 different programs that we operate. And we have a presence here in Rochester, a large presence here in Rochester. And then we have operations in Binghamton as well. And we're looking at, moving into other areas throughout upstate New York as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is wonderful. And I saw a video of you, which I completely loved, by the way. I saw a video of you at the Red Wings, Rochester
yeah.
Red Wings. And it was Striking Out Poverty, right? Is that what you were doing for Volunteers of America? I loved it.
Yeah. I was Citizens Bank and the Red Wings have been very kind to support us over the past few years. It's been an ongoing partnership that Citizens donates every time the Red Wings get a strikeout. And I had the honor of getting to throw out the first pitch as well, which was probably one of the most awesome experiences of my life.
So, did you make it over the plate?
I bounced it over the plate.
Perfect. Hey, at least you threw it, right?
Right, exactly.
That's fantastic.
But it's organizations like that, and we've been so fortunate, not just over the years, but particularly during the pandemic as well, to have the support of our community and organizations like Citizens and the Red Wings and ESL and M&T and many other organizations, Wegmans locally, that have helped support us so we can continue to carry out our mission.
Yeah, without the wonderful people in this community and the wonderful organizations, a lot of these organizations now, it's tough because it was COVID, right? You've probably had to pivot a lot and do a lot of things, but luckily some of the businesses have stepped up and helped you out too.
And they've stepped up in ways, I grew up in Rochester. I have never seen the community pull together the way it has through the COVID pandemic. I mean, it really is something.
It really
is. Says a lot about the resiliency of the people in our community.
And I love that. I also saw that you guys delivered 200 plus gift baskets to senior women on Mother's Day.
Yes, it's one of our favorite programs every year. We have support for that, again, through the community as well, as well as various businesses like Fabulous Flowers and Garden Factory. Sorry, I'm drawing a blank this morning.
That's okay.
And battling a little bit of a cold, so I apologize. We were able to deliver these baskets. It recognizes women, senior women, who would otherwise likely be alone without family on Mother's Day. And so it's one of those, delivering a basket like that really brings joy to your heart, because the smile on the women's faces as we bring them to them is really just heartwarming.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I would have loved to. I'm sure you have pictures on your website, right?
We do. We do, absolutely.
I would love to see that.
And it's a program we run every year, and so the support of the community for that as well is always very, very helpful.
You do a lot in childhood education, too. That's one of, like, your primary programs.
Yes, yes. We have a large building on Lake Avenue. That's used a former car dealership that was turned into a children's center many years ago, back in, like, 1998. So we've been operating the program for quite some time. We have the largest single-site pre-K Head Start program in the city of Rochester, with over 300 children being served annually on an annual basis. Throughout the pandemic, we had to do things differently, just like many of the schools did.
Right.
Immediately moving to operate virtually. Then we brought children back safely, actually last summer, to test out, making sure we could bring them back safely. And we did. By September, we had brought back 112 children in enriched child care, as well as operating the virtual program. And the enriched child care gave children up to the age of 12 a place to basically do their schoolwork during the day. We had children, it was quietest, probably the children's center's ever been, with all these children on tablets, you know, learning.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Remotely. And then in February, when the school district, you know, changed and decided to offer hybrid as well, we began offering that. So at that point, we were operating virtual, hybrid, and in person. So it really was, an interesting year for the organization. First and foremost, the focus was on making sure that we were serving the children of our community and helping give them a successful start to their education. And I can't say enough about the way the Children's Center team transformed, and Rob Stedman, who leads that organization, transformed the Children's Center as a whole to be able to operate the program in multiple ways, because it also entailed moving lots and lots of furniture out of the room to provide for social distancing, making sure the kids were wearing masks and things like that. So very different operation than what we've had in the past.
Right, and it's a lot getting little kids to wear masks, by the way.
It is.
It's a lot for those kids.
You.
They're resilient, though, aren't they?
They are, and they probably do it better than adults in a lot of cases.
Possibly, yeah.
Once they're shown and once they're told what to do, they follow that. We had very little issues with the children wearing masks. Even now, because we are still masking within the organization,
mm-hmm.
to keep individuals safe and our children safe. And they still, every day, they show up, they put their mask on, they know exactly what to do.
That's amazing. I love
it
that
is.
So much. And you had a virtual, like, drive-through graduation for preschool? Is that what you
did?
We did.
We did it last year as well, because we wanted the children to have, you know, it's tough not to have that graduation experience in person.
Oh, yeah.
So, the Children's Center coordinated doing it as a drive-through, and, you know, the kids got to take their graduation pictures and had their graduation caps.
That's awesome.
And got their diplomas, and so, yeah, it's
do you, do you like little paper plate awards? Because my son got the best crash landing, because he used to fall all the time.
I think they did that, but I'm trying to remember. I just remember the smiles and the graduation hats and the families getting. We had a backdrop, so the families got to stand in front of it and take pictures. And the picture that they'll remember forever of their little one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, graduating from preschool.
Mine still pops up all the time when Nate, my little baby Nate, graduated from preschool with his little cap and gown thing.
Right. I've still got my son's, and he's almost 34 now, and I've still got the little cap.
Right.
In my little.
I still have it too.
Yeah.
But my son's 12, so I'm not as bad as you, Lynn. No, but I'll be there one day.
I keep my stuff a little bit longer, so sorry.
It's okay. We're talking with Lynn Sullivan. She's the CEO, Volunteers of America. Is it upstate New York? Upstate
New York.
Upstate
New
York.
We go by Western New York and upstate New York. We go by both.
And since 1896, Volunteers of America has touched the lives of more than a million people across upstate New York. Not even mentioning the fact that this is a nationwide program, but the one in upstate New York, over a million people. And one of the other things you do, one of your other main programs, is homelessness prevention.
Correct.
So you offer housing programs and services, emergency shelters, all those things you kind of mentioned a little bit about.
Right, right. So our goal is to ensure that individuals have a safe place to live, right? And with the focus on getting individuals into permanent housing, not just transitional housing. So the shelter operations are really more of transitional. Individuals will come in or families will come in, and our team then works with our case management team, works to help ensure that they find permanent housing that will keep them successfully housed going forward. And that often entails making sure that the right supports are there, whether it be to address mental health issues or, you know, just how to navigate within the community, which sometimes it's not the easiest thing to do. So, but there's, you know, the real focus is on getting individuals into permanent housing, because that leads to a life, hopefully, at some point without poverty.
Right.
So that's a big focus. And we operate over, I think it's 112 units between here and in Binghamton of supportive housing as well, which individuals will actually live in our supportive housing units. Their regular apartments, and then they continue to receive their supportive services as well. So those are some of the things from a supportive from a housing standpoint that we work with. And then we have residential reentry, as I mentioned, which is those individuals leaving prison, men and women leaving prison, that have the ability to obtain jobs and. Obtain jobs and then find housing and have a successful reentry into the community, and hopefully an entry free of crime going forward.
Yeah, let's hope so. Also, I wanted to ask you, you know, I don't know how COVID has affected this part of it, but are you looking for people to volunteer? I mean, you're called Volunteers of America, but we know you do more than just have people volunteer, but are you looking for volunteers at the moment?
We do have volunteers doing certain things. So, for example, the Day of Caring, individuals came and helped to beautify, outside and around our buildings, putting in plants and making it look more welcoming, right? So we do have volunteers that come in from time to time. We are still operating even though some of the restrictions have been lifted, with limited volunteer opportunities, because we are still trying to make sure that we keep COVID, including the Delta variant, out of our operations.
Absolutely.
So as a result, yes, there are some volunteer opportunities, but not as many as there will hopefully be one at some point when the COVID pandemic is completely gone.
Okay. So if we want to find out other ways to help, because you also have events and things going on that people could help with or get involved with or participate in. Like your golf tournament and things like that, right? That's all on your website.
It's all on our website. The golf tournament is September 13th. It's our largest fundraiser of the year. We've moved it up a year this year because last year there was frost on September 21st. So we've gone a week earlier this year. It's held at Locust Hill Country Club. It's a great time. We are doing it social distanced, which means we'll have individual tea times and, you know, lunch, dinner. It's a great event. And a wonderful way to learn more about the organization and to get involved. So, but there's information about that on our website. And then next year, we're planning on holding our gala again. It was a huge success this year. It was the first one we'd held in many, many years. But that'll be likely sometime next March. So, but there's other opportunities to get involved throughout the year. We always welcome the community's participation. And again, the community's been so generous and supportive that I can't thank them enough. For these past many months, because without them, we would have potentially been in a different position with respect to the COVID pandemic.
Right, and we appreciate what you do, Lynn Sullivan. She's the CEO of Volunteers of America. Your website, voaupny.org. We thank you so much for being here today.